All right. Well, it is good to be here today. It is nice to see a lot of our folks here. It's nice to have Kinsley, to be able to hear baby. It's nice to hear. It's especially nice to hear somebody else's baby that being taken care of by somebody else. It's very uplifting. All right, so last week we did God Doesn't Need You. I think we came out okay on that. And then you open your bulletin and say, it looks like it says, you are all alone. And you're wondering, what's he going to do with this? How are we going to go? Okay, yes, all alone, but this. Here's the thing, we're not doing that. You are not all alone. And in fact, this doesn't even say you are all alone. When Kathy was putting together the slides, I said, make sure there's no space there. Because we're not talking about you are all alone. We are talking about a word in Greek. Preacher thing. I think it'll be good there. There's a word in Greek that is alelone. Alelone means one another. You are not all alone, and there is not a second of this sermon where I'm going to suggest that you or we are all alone. But the New Testament, 193 times in 93 verses, says we ought to be one another. We ought to do things for one another. It talks about things that that in our identity is one another. So this morning, you are all alone. One another. We're not going to go through 193 references. But I want to look at some of these things that we are supposed to be about one another that the New Testament talks about. And the first thing is we are to greet one another. It's about when we come together. We are supposed to be happy to see one another. We get these kind of nice, kind of uncomfortable verses that you're probably familiar with. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. And then 1 Corinthians, greet one another with a holy kiss. And 2 Corinthians says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And 1 Peter says, greet one another with a kiss of love. I don't know if there's a distinction there between holy kiss and kiss of love. So a lot of these greet one another as this reference that, even though it's stated very directly four times, as one of those we don't worry about that normally. But this idea of greeting one another isn't just about the kissing, but it's about how we are supposed to come together. So maybe this reference in Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And the word mutually there is that one another, that alelone. So this greeting each other isn't just hello, with or without kiss. It is, I long to be among one another. It is, we are better when we come together. We seek and desire to greet one another when we come together. So, that's maybe an easy one. We can greet one another, right? I've seen that. We shake hands. Good morning. Didn't see any kisses, but that's okay. So, but this verse takes us to the next one another, where it says, once we have greeted one another, what do we do? We encourage one another. You are not alone because you have a family encouraging you, building each other up. We read this verse a few weeks ago in another lesson we were doing. 1 Thessalonians talks about encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Last night, I was out late with a group of college students. My social club, my old social club from Rochester, Epsilon Theta Chi, which, you know, we call it social club because we don't do fraternity, sorority. It's just a thing that there's pledge week for and that you wear the letters for and it's everything except the name. But Epsilon Theta Chi, I get to go out with them once a year for their rites of passage, you know, which is not a fraternity type thing. But we're out at the camp, and those guys can stay up later than I can. I left MCYC at about 2:30 last night when my part was done, and they still had more to do. But as I had been working on this lesson and spending time with these guys, trying to teach the four new members about the things that the club values, I was thinking about the encouragement that happens in that group. As the pledges were going through the challenges that we had for them and struggling on some, we had members from several different pledge classes. The club goes back to 2003, and we had representation from, I'd say, at least half of those classes there to hold up the new guys, to remind each other of when we went through these same things, to remind each other of the core values, to encourage and build up one another. And that's what the church is supposed to do. That's what God's people do. We say, remember what's most important. Remember the things that bring us together. Remember what our Savior has done. And we encourage, say, because of that thing we share, because of that identity, go do something. Go teach something. Go share something. And you know what? You don't have to do it alone. You are not alone. Here we go. We are encouraging each other to do these good things. Hebrews talks about this idea, says it's not just encouraging to try to put a smile on somebody's face, but it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We encourage one another when we greet one another. And as we are encouraging one another, we are encouraging toward good deeds. We are encouraging making a difference in this world for God. We are encouraging to serve one another. You are not alone. We are not alone when we stand next to each other in service. Galatians says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And Galatians goes on to have this same idea, but added to a little bit, is as we serve one another, we carry each other's burdens. It says, in doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ. We serve one another. If there's a need, we meet that need. And as we are meeting the needs of one another, we encourage one another when we greet one another to go and take that service to our community, take that service to the world, take that service to those that God wants to reach as part of this one another. Anybody who has worked at camp, or anybody who has maybe been in chorus, or been in some community where you've had the opportunity to do something on the face of it which is not that big a deal. You know, you go out to work at camp and you are a counselor, take care of some kids, or a lifeguard, or rec assistant, something that sounds like a little job to do for a week or a few weeks. But if you've done it, or talked to somebody who's done it, something special happens. Because you are doing a job, you are doing a service, and you're doing it alongside someone else who is there to serve God and serve others. And you are part of a group, a staff, that is there not for a job, because you wouldn't do a job for that pay. You are there as a service to God. And you come out of that week or that summer feeling something of what community is about. And it's a great place to meet girls. If you don't know, Rachel and I met at camp. We were both working out there. Now, when we come together, greet one another, encourage one another, serve one another, incredible things can be done for the kingdom. We are to be devoted to one another in love. And here's a good definition of what service is. We honor one another above yourselves. We lift up others to lift up Christ. And so I say that's a good definition of serving. Paul says that's also a good definition of loving one another. So if we've come together to greet one another, if we encourage one another to serve one another, the New Testament says that looks an awful lot like love. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus says, if you want to know what it looks like to be my disciple, put it in our terms, if you want to know what it looks like to be a Christian, love one another. You show Jesus' love in the way that you treat other people. And Romans takes on this idea of imitation of Christ through love by saying, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we love one another, we are doing what we have seen Jesus do for us. And do you notice, in the way that is presented here in Romans, once we have greeted one another and encouraged one another to serve one another, which is loving one another, it circles right back around. That once we have been, once we have the same attitude of Jesus toward each other, what happens? we glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are living as one another, when we are living all alone instead of all alone, it points us back around to worship. It points us back around to where we started, of coming together for worship, and it is a cycle that builds on itself. We show one another what it looks like to be God's people. And this is what we need to be about. He did decide to walk out. He brought it up, so I'm calling it. We are called to do these things. Not all alone, but together with one another. There are those who do choose all alone instead of all alone. There are those who isolate themselves, who say, I choose not to be a part of, I really want to call it, church community, organized religion. There are those who choose all alone in that way. There are others who seem to choose all alone instead of all alone in the way that instead of closing themselves off, they shut other people out. They say, those people don't do things the same way I do them, therefore we can have no fellowship. They say, there are erring brothers and sisters over there, as though there are any other kind, if we're being honest. There are those who become all alone by finding reasons to shut everybody else out. That's a lesson for another day. This is supposed to be a nice one. This is supposed to be happy. There are those who choose that. But just like last week we said, God wants you and God chose you. God does not want all alone for you. God did not choose any of us to be all alone. God has called us to be all alone. And when we are acting as Christ's church, Christ's body, we seek to find chances to fellowship with more people, not fewer people. We find that if these are the things on our mind, we don't just find this when we come to a church building to sing some songs and hear a sermon. We find it among a group of college students. We find it among camp staff. We find it in a chorus. We find it wherever we look, if we are living like this. We've had some classes recently where I said community, and a few people said, no, family. When we are living all alone, when we are living in these ways where we greet one another, encourage one another, serve one another, love one another, we will find far more one another's. We find other people who are looking to do the same things that we are trying to do, serve the same God that we serve, who wear the same name of Christ that we wear. And so we've got a job. But how nice is it that we have a job? That this is not you and you and you and you and you go do something. It is, we need to do this together. We've been called to do these things for one another. If this morning you have been feeling more all alone than all alone, and you need to be lifted up, encouraged, built up, greeted, loved, served, any of these ideas, and so many others in that 193. We want to hear about it. We want to be a family here that holds one another up. if you say, I've been on the outside and I want to be, I want to be what Christ has called me to be and want to be baptized, oh, you better believe we can do that. That is something that we would be thrilled to celebrate with one another and with you. If there's anything this morning that we can do that would make you feel more a part of this family and less alone, please tell us as we stand to sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.